you find yourself writing. I'm only used to writing obituaries. So how are you on the typewriter in the back office? What's going on out there?
Oh my gosh, the typewriter. Bringing back those great memories there of my dad and my grandpa. Ding, 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 ding. Nope, I got a MacBook. I am a millennial. I'm a cool millennial. You know, I got a Stanley. I like my UGG slippers. So when I want to write, I get in full on cool mode, okay?
Is today the biggest day of your life, would you think?
I mean, I did get married and I did have a baby, so.
It is a big day, is it not?
I mean, as an adult, maybe.
All right, so if you're running through the course of your life, this is a dream of yours, I imagine for a long time, what would you rank this moment?
Number three. Lucky number three.
Well, tell our mortuary show friends, what is this moment for Brittany DeMarco? What's going on today?
Well, I never thought I'd be part of a grief experience book, but here I am. Professionals actually want to hear our opinion, people. The funeral directors, the last responders, we have a voice.
I try to channel that voice on a weekly basis. So I appreciate that someone else wants to dive in as well and join the club.
I know. When we talk about death and grief, I'm just finally, they're like, how about we contact a funeral director? And so here I am giving our perspective. Finally, people are listening.
Yeah, it gives you a little butterflies every time you talk about dying. It's so uplifting.
Oh my gosh, I know. They think we're wearing all black and we have dark hair and we're morbid, right?
Yeah.
Little Wednesday Addams, that's what they think of us. But I'm here to make sure our voice is heard and that we are actually full of light.
That's what I like to hear. That's the energy we want. All right, so what's the deal? What is this? What's the book? What's going on? You're a funeral director, so first of all, how do you have time to balance these things? And you find yourself writing. I'm only used to writing obituaries. So how are you on the typewriter in the back office? What's going on out there?
Oh my gosh, the typewriter. Bringing back those great memories there of my dad and my grandpa. Ding, 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 ding. Nope, I got a MacBook. I am a millennial. I'm a cool millennial. You know, I got a Stanley. I like my UGG slippers. So when I want to write, I get in full on cool mode. Okay.
All right. So where are you writing? It seems like you're at the funeral home now. So you gotta have a little office or a little closet maybe with all the cremated remains.
The wallpaper and the creepy photo behind me.
Gives it away.
I don't even know. There's tons of weird stuff in here. Yes, I'm basically in the closet, aka our stationary room. I'm hiding from the rest of my staff today because today the phones haven't stopped ringing because we launched our book. I am a part of a collaborative grief book. It is called The Grief Experience, Tools for Acceptance, Resilience, and Connection, and it is available today, February 6th. On Amazon.
Wow, how exciting. And how exciting that you can remember that name. That's a infamous name, a special name that goes on for days.
I told you it was a collaborative book. I wasn't in charge of the title.
So everyone that wrote the book, I'm guessing, did they have one word to put into the title? So everyone guessed one word.
So a letter, because it is 25 of us. So if we do the math.
Wow. That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people, but it just shows that grief is so different. And that's why I think this book is so unique. So imagine if I took the time to just write a book by myself. That's just Brittany's version. That's just Brittany's unique experience. And I might not correlate with so many people. And the tool that I created, some people would be like, I did that, that didn't work, or what's this girl talking about? So if you throw it out to the crowd, maybe only a few people will catch it. Now we have 25 authors with all different stories, all different losses. And that's what the funeral business is. I told you I'm hiding in the closet, but we have phones everywhere here.
Well, so how did they first find you? Like, well, where did they come at you? And they're like, Brittany, we need you to write this chapter. You are the only one that can write this chapter.
So it's actually a local woman who is a psychologist and a grief counselor locally. Okay. I connected with her a few years ago because when I was doing my own research here at the funeral home for grief therapist bereavement support, there is many different therapists and counselors in the area, but way down at the bottom of what they list for is bereavement and grief counseling. Sure, mm-hmm. they'll come and talk to somebody about it, but that's not their main focus.
Not the
priority. And that's what the main author, Kelly Dowtry, wants to put out there, is that her main focus is grief. So many counselors, they push that back. They kind of focus on the other things going on in the person's life and not get down to the nitty gritty. So when I connected with her, did my background checks, got to know about what her practice is all about, I told her, I was like, I will not recommend anybody else but to you, because you're actually going to be there to help them on their grief journey and help them find what they need moving forward. So her and I've had a friendship for 2 years. She was reached out by a publisher. And so it was her creative idea to get other authors involved from all different ways of life, walks of life, different careers, different grief experiences, and put this beautiful book together.
That's amazing. It's just like anything else in our lives that have to do with death. Everyone just pushes it down in a way. They push it down in a way. And you're trying to bring light to it because it is an experience that everyone goes through in their life. So why not talk about it and try to shine some light on something that's so dark and dreary, and gives people some different perspectives of ones that actually deal with it every day like we do.
Exactly. And in our American culture, it's supposed to be like, put it, move forward. Life is busy.
Yeah.
We'll get to it when you can, but keep on moving forward and get strong and move on. And it's just, you can't always do that. Of course you want to move forward, but how about you take some time for your mental health and try to get through this with somebody who understands exactly what our brain and our psychology needs. So I highly recommend Kelly for anybody who's in the upstate New York region. Her staff is fantastic. And she not only will counsel people one-on-one, she does these group therapies that bring people together to talk about their feelings as a group grief facilitator. But also she does motivating challenges. Like, for example, she does a 5K, so people who have never ran before and they want to channel their grief through completing a goal, she will have everybody come together, do some practice exercises, try to do a mile on their own. So it creates these milestones that build people up to say, wait, you know what? I can move forward. I can accomplish a goal. And the way she does it, I'm definitely not describing it as good as she does. She really has something going on to help others. So I am proud to be a part of this book with Kelly.
It's a great idea to set some goals when you're going through those hard times. Partially because, of course, it's a distraction from what you have going, and whether that's good or bad, that can be your choice and probably where you're at along the journey. But at the same time, it's an uplifting thing that you can do to get something under your belt that you've never done before. So setting a goal when you're going through those hard times is an interesting, different way that I've never really thought about it. You could go through that in any aspect of grief in your life. I think that's an interesting way, rather than doing it those traditional ways that you would, you know, confronting it or talking through and et cetera. Maybe this is more of a good internal thing that you can drive and give yourself some self-confidence that you can get through anything by accomplishing a goal.
Absolutely. And, you know, my chapter, The Last Responder, Continuing for the Dead, in a way.
Tell us about the chapter. Like, let's get into it. I'm going to read the book. I promise. I'm at least going to read your chapter. But
chapter
19, let's go. I'm going to go through that first half so fast. But tell me a little bit about what that chapter is and what does it mean to us?
Yes, to us, because I hope my fellow funeral directors and morticians are listening. It's finally our perspective, everyone. We're not just the dark, morbid people that undertake bodies and perform funerals and place flowers on a casket. We are people that have hearts, and we have souls that are broken and shattered every time we have to sit down with the family, but we have to remain strong for them. But at the end of the day, when our heart breaks and a part of our heart goes with that family, they leave us with a few fill-ins. You know, they fill that void with life lessons, experiences that they have encountered with their loved one that passed that maybe we take on into our own lives, but also a new friend. I can't count how many friends I've made here at the funeral home. Absolutely. You really create things here. Even though there's loss and somebody has passed away, it is dark, we do find the light at the end of the tunnel. And I like to say that those families that we meet and the stories they give us, that is pure love. And our building's not dark. It's full of love and light.
Woo! You've been practicing.
I absolutely am not.
Wow, it, very true. The bond that we share with the families that we get to help is unlike anything else. And we get to do something special almost every day, it seems like. And getting to hear, I love that part where you said about stories, getting to listen to other people's stories and resonate with them and form that bond. It's a great feeling. And that's how you can share in those moments with them, because we do hard things for them. And so it makes it a little bit easier when you realize that who these people are and you get to have that special bond with them. It makes what we do behind the scenes that is grueling a little bit easier and more attainable, because we are able to share moments with them.
Exactly. And
it's like I read your chapter.
Did you?
No.
If so, leave a Google, not a Google review, leave an Amazon review so we can stay number one.
Number one. Number one in anything.
Oh, stop. I'm sure you have. But it's just, it's exciting because people are seeing that the funeral director, what we really encounter every single day, we face grief head on. We're not just the one story where somebody lost somebody and they want to put their brave words on the book there. We are channeling every feeling that we've ever experienced as funeral directors and kind of showing the world how we deal and what we learn from each experience. So continuing for the dead, my tool is to make sure those that are reading know that life does go on and the strength has to come in from within ourselves to move forward. And when we talk about life, everybody has a story. So let's continue our own life story, because one day somebody's going to be reading about who we were, talking about us, and what do you want your life to be like? So it kind of puts a whole circle that you're grieving now for somebody, but just know that one day somebody's going to grieve for us, so we have to continue for the dead.
Yes, build on the legacy, let their legacy live on, and then create every day for your own legacy too. I don't know how much it moves the needle for some people. Some people, they don't care whatsoever. They think, you know, what I did on earth, like that's that, and I'm going to be forgotten. Other people, it's everything to them, building the legacy for their family or for the public or for whatever your love is or whatever your passion is. So I personally think it's so important to cherish the legacy of the ones that have been before us, because they have paved the path. Like, we, both of us would not be here without the generations past, like our grandparents. And I don't know, are you fourth generation or are you third? You're fourth.
I'm fourth.
Mm-hmm. Both of our great grandparents too, both of us. That's a long legacy. That's a long time. That's 100 years. So to think that those people from that long ago have an impact to today is amazing. So why not live your life like that? And why not help people create the memories for their own families in that way, in their own special sort of respect?
We're memory keepers. You know, we're the person that has to remind people that, hey, every life has a story and it's worth sharing. And if people want to just be cremated and thrown in the backyard, hey, if that's what you want to do, if you love your home that much and you want to be scattered there, that's great. But yeah, just think about your survivors and just think of their mentality. Sure, maybe it's a lot to come together right after a passing if they can't handle putting a funeral service in 2 to 5 days. Yeah. But just know that there is a funeral director that's ready to have that sit down with them to be like, well, this person was X, Y, Z to the community. There's other people that want to come together. And just think, if we don't come together, later in life, you might think, well, why didn't anybody care that mom passed away? Why didn't we do this? You might have some animosity towards your decision that you didn't come together and celebrate, because that's what we do as humans. We come together and celebrate from the beginning of time. Grief starts with together. And if we don't start that process, you might have guilt for yourself not having that. But then you'll also look around being like, why didn't so-and-so reach out to me? Why wasn't that person there for me? And in the back of my funeral director brain, it'd be like, well, we didn't have an obituary. Maybe they didn't know because you weren't ready to put yourself out there. So as a funeral director, we're supposed to guide the family, to let them know all their decisions and kind of help them in every part of their grieving process. So it says, we need to do this legally right now, but let's talk next week after you had some time to grieve and see where we want to be with how we're going to honor mom or dad. And let me know. And there's no pressure to do anything. You could take the cremains home with you and then go to dinner and celebrate with all your loved ones, because that's what mom and dad want. They want a party. They don't want to be at the funeral home.
Yeah.
They just need to know their options, because every life deserves a celebration and deserves to come together.
It does. You've got to lean on the people that you love the most and that you are doing life with in those situations. When you lose someone that's in your circle, you've got to lean on others. And like you were saying, Brittany, the broader community, they want to celebrate the person. I mean, we always talk about this sort of stuff as funeral directors, and a lot of people that aren't in funeral service, they think we're trying to sell them on something. We're trying to sell the family to pay more money, blah, blah, blah. I know we could go on and on about how that is incorrect, whatever. But we're doing our services. It's for the people that are still here. It's for the people that are still living, because they need to be able to move on and they want to remember that person and they want to celebrate that person. So it's not about like, to be honest with you, it does irritate me when people say, when I pass away, people will say this, just throw me in the dumpster, just throw me in the lake, whatever. You hear people say this stuff all the time. And I'm like, it's not about you then. Like, you're gone. Exactly. You're gone here. You know, whatever you believe, I believe that there's another level to living life and there's something beyond us, but you're gone from this place. So the funerals are for the people that are left here. So I think it's a selfish mindset when people say that, because they're not doing it for the people that they love. And that's where the misconception comes from. Like Brittany, you just said, it doesn't matter to me if you go to Papa John's down the street and have your celebration. Like, honestly, you love Papa John's from up there. Come on, you got better pizza than Papa John's.
Oh, I love, and Domino's. I we'll get in that some next time. Okay. But
you got to come to Chicago.
It's really bad. Pizza.
That's a disgrace.
Where's my app?
Unless that was their favorite thing, then go and do it. Like, it doesn't. That's where I'm coming from is.
Oh, exactly. You nailed it. You nailed it.
It's so important. It is.
Oh my goodness. Well, I have a excerpt as I was this. So
kind of, how much do I have to pay?
Well, based on how long the title of the book is, we'll see. By the word.
Love it. Let's hear this excerpt. Let me channel my inner listening here.
I know, right? The fact is that love never dies. Heartbreak will come and go for the rest of your life. And then one day our life is over and someone else will have to endure the heartbreak as we have. And when we no longer write our own story, it becomes the responsibility of our legacy and people you wouldn't ever expect to celebrate your memory, the last responders. So as you just said, we just want you to be able to find that way to come together. And yeah. It could be at Papa John's, it could be at the funeral home, but the memory has to be made together. And, yeah. You know, if going out with the cremains to do a scattering service with just two of your loved one's best friends, that's enough. But just right. Know you have to have some kind of symbolism to do these. Because if you do it on your own, it might not be so healing. And I know I have a case here at the funeral home that they still have not picked up their mother's cremains. It's been 4 years.
Yeah.
And I hear from the family saying, what are we going to do? But I'm like, I'm ready to help whatever you need, but they need to make the decision to come here to do it because they're the only ones who are authorized to take the cremains into their care. Yeah. Of course, it's been over the 180-day mark here at the funeral home, but we had the pre-plan that the cremains would be going up to a specific cemetery. Yeah. And the family just says, we just need to get them there. And it's just because they didn't make the decision to come there and nobody has helped them. They're going on a really out of spiral grief experience. So it makes our job hard when people don't do it and then they have the regret and now they have the spiraling out. We see it all the time and not as much because our job is to have the healthy goodbyes, funeral directors, but those one in a few chances that somebody is having a bad goodbye, it's heartbreaking to see, but it could have been prevented.
Yeah, it sure could have. And I mean, it sounded like poetry. First of all, your excerpt was very good. Where'd you learn to write? Like where does this background come from besides our only natural abilities that we have?
Well, I mean, I've always loved to write. Before I got into the family business, I was in communications and business, and I studied a lot of writing. I took up tons of creative writing. That's my favorite. So I think it's always been the back of me, and I get a little selfish when I'm meeting with families. I'm like, I'll write the obituary for you. So I try to do at least 90% of the writing because I love it. I love telling the life stories and putting it on a document as beautifully as I can. I get really creative with some of my families and I love those that give me full range, but you know, just doing the traditional block by block, when they were born, their early education, they met their husband and what they did as a mother or career, but you still try to, get their essence because this is going to be their digital footprint for the rest of time. Hopefully as long as the World Wide Web doesn't blow up.
Yeah, I think we'll be all right for that. But what's like an obituary that you've written that you've remembered from one of the families you've helped? Is there any that stick out from you over the course of your career that was like, oh, that was a good one, or that was a funny one, or that really captured the imagination or the essence of someone?
Oh my gosh, it was this gentleman that actually is part of the inspiration for this book. So this book, Mr. Jones, who's the character, it's three gentlemen I served early on in my career. One was my first celebrant service that I got to meet him and get notes together about his life prior to his passing. We created quite the relationship. I think about him often, actually. Yeah. He was my first celebrant service. So his obituary was so unique and different. Just my language was humorous and very to the point of who he was. So people were calling the funeral home being like, oh my gosh, I never seen an obituary like this. Like, this is
love
literally him. And it just honestly just I'll be doing this for another 10 years. I'm happy. So,
Oh.
and then the other one was another gentleman that I served. He had pancreatic cancer, so I only met him once, but I really was there for the children and the spouse. So it was my relationship with the family.
Yeah.
His was very unique. He was very outspoken. So his was more, everybody can't believe how honest I was in the obituary about him as a person. They're like, oh my gosh, this is him. And they were just, it gave him a lot of peace because there was something he wanted in the obituary that was kind of not an apology, but like amends to his family in a
Ooh,
way.
hard,
So
yeah.
it created like the family actually showed up to the services, so that was very important. And then the last one was dedication to like the family of, I never met this gentleman that passed, but it was for the family because the connection I made with them afterwards and how we're still friends. So it created this like character, Mr. Jones. How I brought in all the three families from early on in my career.
That's cool.
But every family I serve is a Mr. or Mrs. Jones. Like this week already, I have this family that I adore and I truly do care for them and we'll be friends for our lifetime. And it's just you meet wonderful people in this business. And if you just show yourself as a human and that you're going through this together, but you have to be the professional guiding them, it's an undeniable bond that you can create with these people.
You have to show your human side, because if you go through that cookie cutter, I was just talking about this with my brother this morning, and there was a commercial for a funeral home or something, and it was very cookie cutter and exactly what you would expect. They're walking through the forest or something, and
Yeah.
it just didn't show any of the personality, any of the actual human side, or any of the hard conversations that you have to have. So it comes across sometimes as a little bit, not quite passive aggressive, but sort of hypocritical, because there is a lot of challenge that goes into this, and it's not all beautiful in nature and lovely. Like, there are hard moments that you have to get through, and there's also like fun moments, there's also funny moments, there's all these different array of things. And that's what we need to do as funeral directors, is show your true personality. I'm sure you are very well aware. I do that. Like, I try to do that on everything I do, is like show who you truly are, because people will resonate with that, and then they'll feel comfortable with you, and then you'll be able to let them open up and really get to have the services and have that future connection like you had with this family this week, that you're gonna live on with forever.
Yeah, and it's like we're not just suits. You know, we're there for professional. We're the professionals. We're there to guide them. You
Yeah.
know, no one knows what to do. And if they have, they've done this once before, and they're going to be so unraveled in their own grief and not want to go through that process again. So we have to be there with our hands out to guide them every step, let them know their options, be transparent, but be there as a friend and let them know that like it's okay to not be okay, and
Sure is.
even be like, not give the cookie cutter, like, oh, I'm so sorry for your loss, and I'm thinking about you and praying for you. Be like, human, like, I know this sucks
Suck.
right now. This
Yeah.
sucks, and I know you don't even want to face all these people right now, but somebody in that crowd is going to really bring warmth and comfort to you, and they're gonna make you laugh, and you're gonna have these people that come together and tell you these stories that you never even knew about him or her. And it's gonna be exhausting in its own way, but you're gonna be happy you did this, and it's gonna start something that's gonna be healing.
Yeah.
And
Ooh, beautiful there. It's
well,
so true. It's spot on, and that's what you got to tell your families.
yeah, and it's just. It's the first step forward. Because when people experience grief right away, some people can't even get dressed. They just want to stay in bed. They are sick. I hear it all the time that people lose weight when somebody passes away because they're disgusted by food or they don't have the appetite. It's it affects us all with our bodies, our minds, and physically. It's emotionally, it's draining. But if the director can be there to guide them just to start the process and what we legally need to do in a kind human manner, then we did our job. And just know that after the fact, they're always going to be grateful. I have letters from my father and my mother and my grandfather, and I'm getting piles and piles of letters from families, and their words remind you that, I know this is 24/7 business, 24/7 business, and it's exhausting, but we are making a difference as funeral directors.
There's no doubt about it. I got one last question. Give us a little bit of an overall synopsis of what the rest of the book looks like, because I know your chapter is very focused on funeral service and being a funeral director. What are some of the other things that are touched on, and something maybe that would interest us to come pick up the book and give it a read at our or during our bedtime when we're having a nice cup of tea with the work phones next to our ear?
So every perspective is different, from the loss of a parent, loss of a pet, loss of a child. It is all different perspectives of loss, and it's also the loss of careers and things that you look at that could have been there, and you just never were able to earn something that you thought for yourself. So it channels the brain of how we experience loss every day in our loss in our day in our lives, and but how to grow from that. And as you can see, the connection, the resilience, it's every author will have a tool for you, whether that's prompts of how you could start writing down your feelings. We have authors that are having you do dancing. I know that
Hey,
sounds crazy, but I'm showing
I'm
you
into it.
two different spectrums there, where you release your energy through dance and be what's the words I'm looking for? You have to read her chapter, because obviously everybody is a professional in their own way. And that's the thing. I can't explain these authors' chapters because they're so different. And that's what makes this book so great, is there's so much to pull from. Like I said earlier, you throw my ball out to the group, a few people will catch it. But then take the next author, Kelly's chapter, throw it out to the group, other people are catching it. And also, as funeral directors, why I really want to push this book is this will help your families because it's so unique. And it does show our one chapter as the funeral directors and how we have to continue for the dead. And it's really a bucket list. So my tool is a bucket list of how we take what we learn from these families and channel it into our own life, to know that one day we are gonna kick the bucket, unfortunately. So let's motivate ourselves to move forward and take what we learned from these families and these loved ones in our own life. So I can't tell you enough about this book, because there's so many other authors that have such great content to help our families. And I would love to send you our workbook, which is not the book itself, but it is prompts and it's questionnaires and ways for grieving people to be able to work through their grief. So it's an actual workbook where people can write in, take those notes from each author and put it into their own life.
Wow, beautiful. Well, thank you for that. And I'm super pumped to read it. So where are we getting this thing? How am I getting this? And all of our listeners to jump on and support one of our fellow morticians.
So it's on Amazon.
Oh, easy. I'll go tomorrow.
I don't think everybody is up in upstate New York. So the best way to get your copy is on Amazon. It's also available by ebook. So if you have a Kindle, you can just read it digitally. Is that a word?
Digitally.
Digital. It's
Digitally.
been a long day. Like I said, it's a release day here. But it's the grief experience, tools for acceptance, resilience, and connection. And myself and 24 other brave authors are ready to share our words with the world.
How beautiful. Well said. Well, Brittany, thanks for sharing this great information. I think our funeral directors are going to love it. You got to eat it up, got to support one of our own. And it's something that you could use with your families. And it gives you a different perspective from what I can gather, a different way of looking at things that you'll be able to use and have in your tool bag to help with your families. And then at the same time, it's a resource that you can spread the word to other people. So go out and get the book and, you know, we branch out and learn a little bit, just like Brittany taught us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.